Young people, I have a story much like most of you. I was born. I was born in Dungannon, though, so I don't think too many were born up that part of the world. The hospital's now shut down. You can't get born there. But I was born in 1997. That makes me 22, to see if you're doing the maths, in September. And I was born into a Christian home. And I assume most of you here can assume that things is a bad thing, but I think the majority of you, there's a lot of ministers' children here, and that's serious. and it's a privilege, though. It really is a genuine privilege, because when you think of it there, I have both my grandparents, both my grandfathers are foundation elders in the Free Church, and the generation before them were saved people and loved the Lord, and the amount of prayer, and there's real power in prayer, young people. I don't know if you realize the power there is in prayer, but I thank the Lord for what a privilege it has been to be brought up in that Christian home. I see it in uni, especially there in high school. People from the same country don't have the same knowledge. They're just completely in darkness. So each of you, we are so blessed. We are so blessed even to be brought up in the homes that we're brought up in. I have one younger brother and two younger sisters. I'm the guinea pig of the family because I'm the first grandson on both sides, or first grandchild on both sides. So literally, it's the guinea pig job here, so we're paving the way, handing down all the old clothes and all that there. But it's good. It means you get the new stuff. So there you are. Anyway, that's enough. I want to tell you, my testimony really begins. It's not about me I want to tell you about here tonight, really. See, the Bible says, whenever you get saved, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And so I honestly, before God, I want to glorify Him, and it's only what He has done in my life that I want to speak to you about tonight. If I'm to boast in man, I'd be better sitting down and something else happening. But young people, I hope that most of you here are saved. I hope, in fact, all of you are saved. And so, at the age of 4, in 2002, actually not very long ago, I'm 18 years saved there a few weeks ago. I just realized that when I looked at the date, the 22nd of January 2002, and isn't that incredible what the Lord can do? It was very simple, young people. The Lord really burdened my heart, and I realized that even at that young age that I was a sinner, you know, and it's nothing new. I'm not going to tell you anything new tonight, but this world tells us, oh, how can a wee 4-year-old be a sinner? How can they be bad? How can they deserve hell? You know, we were reading there in Ephesians chapter 2, and even just those first verses, and you hath he quickened, that is, to be made alive, and you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, each one of us are born into this world spiritually dead, and we will not seek God, we will not desire Him. In fact, we will do everything to go against Him, we will do everything to sin against Him. And so, there's an amazing story. We were asking in the quiz about Lazarus. And Lazarus was a dead man. But when the Lord Jesus Christ called him, Lazarus, come forth, a dead man was raised from the ground, and he could do nothing in his power to resist it. Men and women, young people, that is what happened in my life 18 years ago. Getting mixed up on the dates. You know, I have to say, you go on in that very passage, we were reading it in the service here, for by grace are ye saved. And if we don't go any further than that, that word grace, there's nothing we have to boast in, only our Saviour, because it is all completely undeserved. There's lots of people that tell you, oh, you can work your way to salvation. You can do something, you can ask Jesus into your heart and your good works. But what a privilege it is that our God, He has made a way, and it's only of Him. It's all of Him. And so can I ask you tonight, what are you leaning on? Where's your trust? Are you looking back on a date when you said a wee prayer? Or can you say, I know my Redeemer lives. I know Him. I am resting in His finished work on Calvary. Young people, I would trust, and my fear is that there's so many young people in the churches nowadays, and they're resting in a little prayer. And they don't even realize that they're maybe never truly saved. And so I would ask you, The Bible clearly says, by their fruit ye shall know them. And so, look, I would ask you, do you really know the Lord? Do you know him? Do you pray to him? Do you read his word? Do you love him? Because there will be a transformation in your life. And yes, not everyone will pray and read to the same extent, but there will be a change. I heard about a man telling the story of how he was coming to the meeting, and he says, oh, sorry for being late to the meeting. I got hit by a bus when I was changing my tyre. And I looked at him like, the man's way not right in the head. You can't get hit by a bus and still come to the meeting but late. You probably could in an ambulance or something like that there. Right? What am I saying? What am I talking about getting hit by buses? I haven't got hit by a bus, praise the Lord. But what I have had an experience with Almighty God. Much greater than a bus. He says, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And if some man's telling you, I've got saved. I know the Almighty God. And there's no change in his life. You'll say, you're full of rubbish. You'll say, this man's talking rubbish. There's no truth there. And so let me ask you, young people, it would be better for you to get this straight in your head right now. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will even just come and speak to your life right now. See, salvation is of the Lord, utterly of him. And if you're leaning on some little profession that you made years ago, I tell you, you'll be like that man it talks about in the Bible. And whenever that judgment day comes, they'll say, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name? Have I not done all these great things? Cast out demons. And the Lord will say, depart from me. You cursed. I never knew you. Men and women, you're probably looking at me and I'm telling you I'm saved. But if you said, somebody's up speaking, prophesying and doing all these things, you would say, they're for sure, they're saved. Men and women, I would ask that you seriously sit down and do not rely on a little profession. See, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I come not in to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's Luke 5. And I was just reading a book there this week past, and it really blessed my soul. And it's just scripture, scripture, scripture here. So I'll just read it out, and then I can give you all the references. But most of it's from John. This is what all the words of Christ, this is what he's saying to you tonight. It should thrill your heart if you're saved. And if you're not saved, then this is what the Almighty God is offering to you, who, if you're not saved, actually despise him and hate him. And yet, he's offering to you this. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. What do you think of that, men and women? These aren't just my words, but each one of those was the very words of Almighty God in human flesh to you. Does it not thrill your heart to think that the very Lamb of God, we sing, Behold the Lamb of God, we're thinking about the Lamb of God. And whenever you think, that Lamb represents the Old Testament and how they sacrificed the Lamb and it was looking forward to Christ. And yet, each one of us who are saved tonight, we can say that there is no need for any more sacrifices. Because that once and for all sacrifice has been made. Praise the Lord. I have been redeemed. I have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And it is his blood that cries out for my salvation. Do you know that salvation, young people? Praise the Lord, that's what I'm relying on. And I would challenge you to really, really consider that. Because without this, without that step there, which I'm talking about, without knowing Christ, all the rest, what I'm going to talk about is of no avail to you. But my testimony continues. I got saved at that early age, and I give God all the glory for that. He is a wonderful Savior. I can say that he is truly the fairest of 10,000 to my soul, that He is. Oh, when you think of those verses, my beloved is mine and I am my beloved's. It's just extraordinary. And we'll go on. I'll talk more about that later. But whenever I grew up in Cookstown, I went to a local wee primary school, and you know yourself, wee Christian primary school is real good, no problems. And then went to high school, and halfway through first year, something strange happened. My dad got a call to be a missionary in Africa, and next thing we were leaving Cookstown, Tullyhog, and we were rolling up Goonee Street. You should have seen it. Landed into Kenya, boy, up this road for miles and miles and miles, maybe 3 hours, and it was tarmac road, big potholes. There was more potholes probably in the road than there was tarmac, but it was still better than the dirt roads. And we got to this place called Goonee, and the way you remember it is N-I, Northern Ireland, with gun in the middle. So Goonee, and boys a dear. Never been hardly out of, I'd never been out of Europe. And next thing, oh boy. And you can go on Google Maps actually and just look her up. You'll see the very spot. They've got Google Earth or the wee man in there. You'll see it. And that's where you turn off the main road. And I tell you what, we didn't know what ahead of us, but it was serious. We were in these big trucks, and we're going up this wee dirt road. And when the rain comes, it comes real hard and has huge big corrugations through the middle of the wee road. So you're going like this here, and my mum was just didn't know what to think, you know what I'm saying? And she was from South Armagh, so it was rough wee roads, but not just quite as that. But anyway, men, young people, we landed in Kithamula, which was 10 kilometres, 6 miles from that there, what I'm talking about, in the middle of nowhere. And I genuinely mean that, in the middle of nowhere. No electric, no running water. The signal, there's no Wi-Fi, there's nothing like that there. It was serious. We're the only white people for miles. And boys, oh, I could just talk all night about Kenya. But there were many challenges, but there were many blessings. We had an orphanage there. And I can genuinely say this, to God be the glory, we had seen God do extraordinary things in Africa. Souls saved, genuine conversions. I know about a witch doctor. You're thinking witch doctor. It's just normal to us out there, but witch doctors are rife. They're very superstitious people. And genuinely, just as we read in the Bible about witchcraft, they practice it out there. And it does genuinely have power. There's scary things happen, and the people live in fear. But praise the Lord, we were able to preach the gospel and say, we have nothing to fear, for the Christ is on our side. Our God is our refuge. And so there was a 100-year-old, we don't know how old she was. She was born in the year of the big rain. That's what they told us. And then you look back when that was. It was about 100 years ago. And she was the main witch doctor in that whole area. And our minister, Reverend Lackey, was actually out opening a building and preached, "The truth will set you free." And we killed two cows, and I don't know how many people, maybe a couple of thousand people come because they never get meat. And she heard the gospel there for, I believe, the first time. And next thing then, Daddy used to go around the homes on the wee motorbike with the pastor. And they went to this house a couple of weeks later, and she says, "I was just going to ask that you would come." And he got to point that woman to the Lord. And she was transformed amazingly. She had loads of wee idols, and she threw them into the pit, because they don't have rubbish bins. They've just got a big pit in the ground where they burn it all. And she was so in such a rush to throw away her wee idols, she threw her passport and all into the thing and had to go down into the thing and get her, not her passport, her ID card. And she walked to walked to church the next Sunday. I can't remember, maybe a mile or something, like a wee 100-year-old woman walking a mile through the dirt roads. And she walked in. And you imagine me walking up there, and everyone's just like, it's like literally, I don't know, head of the Sinn Féin sort of job coming. You know, that's the sort of thing it's like, what? And then in Kenya, any visitors to the church have to stand up and say, "Hello, I'm such and such from such and such." And she stood up and said, "The truth has set me free. I am saved and I love the Lord." And so that's what the change the Lord is able to make in lives. That's a very dramatic case. But you know what we've just said previously, we are all dead in sin. And so don't let anyone say that your salvation is any less than any other, because it takes the same power to raise a dead man, whether how dead they're dead is dead. And so, young people, rejoice in what the Lord has done for you. And may you be a witness like her. She went and told the whole community what the Lord had done for her. She said, I served him for all my life, talking about the devil, and now I'm free. Just extraordinary. Honestly, if you want, I could talk. I don't normally talk too much about Africa now. It's been a while from I've been back. But ask me any questions. I'll tell you about a challenge that faced us. We weren't long out there, and I didn't have a primary school, just a normal primary school to go to, or a high school to go to, or anything like that. So the KPM board had organized for a teacher to teach us in a classroom, and he had a big blackboard, maybe that went to this room, and he just literally covered in chalk, and you copied it down, and that was you taught, and didn't work. And I really liked maths, and it wasn't working. And I came over when I was 12. That's the disclaimer, I was young. And I cried, and I says, you know, this isn't working. And Mama and Daddy were in distraught, because we were like genuinely in the middle of nowhere. And it was very hard. And then that night we prayed together. My mum went and done her Bible reading. And this is the sovereignty of God. This is the Lord just coming down. And this is the very passage she was reading that night as she went through her Bible. Isaiah 54 verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Imagine that. The very day that we had just come to a head. That was the very verse. You know what happened the very next day? Well, that night, Mummy just said, you know what? Rodney, that's my dad's name. Rodney, the Lord's going to sort this out. It's in his hands. The very next day, Daddy was preaching at the local secondary school, and the teacher came out to him and says, how are your children being taught? We'd love to teach them. And from very shortly after that, I studied under a tree, and I could zoom in on Google Maps and show you the tree I studied under. And I tell you, to God be all the glory, because as far as humanly was speaking, it was a bit mad. It wasn't exactly the right sort of education system. It wasn't too interactive and all that carry on. No field trips. We're in a field, that's what you're in. But the Lord was so good. The Lord was so good. I remember coming back, and I mean this to God's glory, sat in a lecture in Queens, and turned around to the boys in this huge, big, fancy lecture theatre. I says, boys, 2 years ago I was sitting under a tree. And they just looked at you, and I tell you what, that is all of the Lord. To my shame, there were years when I thought that it was something I was doing, my hard work. But I tell you what, it's only of the Lord. There's nothing to boast in. Where do we boast but in Christ? And if it had not been for him, who's to know where we would have been? But so there you are, that's a little encouragement. I don't want to spend too much, dear knows, time. Oh dear, time's just flying. I could talk all night about Kenya, honestly. So many stories. But I want to talk now about what has happened in the coming back to Northern Ireland. I came back to Northern Ireland, and you know, being a missionary, being a minister's son doesn't really, you know, people put a lot of thing on your shoulders, whatever, and you think you're some sort of fancy person, but you're just a sinner like everyone else, and saved by grace, to God be the glory, but a sinner nonetheless. And I can tell you, I had my battles. I got into sin, private sin, I suppose, especially. And I wasn't living for the Lord. I suppose, like many people, I fear in our churches nowadays, I looked like a real Christian. And I suppose I was, but boy, I was not living for the Lord the way I should. I was like a fellow in our youth on Friday night. He had three bottles of Coke, and one was the genuine article. It was full of fizz and hadn't been opened. The next one was completely flat. And the third one just looked like it had Coke in it, but it was coffee and sparkling water or something. And I was that there flat Coke. I was the real thing. I wasn't living for the Lord. I didn't have that power. I didn't know him. I wasn't fellowshipping with him the way I should. And to my shame, that's the way I lived. I was on youth fellowship, and you'd have looked at my life and you'd have said, there's a fellow going on with the Lord and doing good. But deep down, in reality, my motives weren't good. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying, young people? I'm sure there's people here and you know what I'm on about. You know, you've got a form of Christianity. You come to church, you go to the prayer meeting, you know, you're involved in youth fellowship, whatever it might be, you're leading the courses, but your heart's not right. You can't say, I love my God and I know Him. He is my delight. And then another bit of advice, I went out with a godly girl, I can honestly say that, but for 3 years, and my dad's advice was keep physical contact to an absolute minimum. And to my shame, I didn't do that. And I know of friends here and I've told them the same advice. And I would just advise that to any of you. Do these things in God's ways, God's laws. I looked at God's laws for many years and they were like a chore. They were like, oh, don't do this, don't do this, that. And I was a chain around your neck. But young people, when you realize that these commandments are for your good, this is God's perfect will for you, and He does not want anything to harm you. He wants the best for you. And so look at them as a father lovingly saying, do not go there, come unto me. And He'll keep all those things. Men and women, I broke up with, well, no, my girlfriend broke up with me about a year and a half ago. And I suppose she was a godly girl, and I don't want to mean this in the wrong way, but boys, it was probably one of the best things ever happened to me because it brought me to a crisis point. I was really praying, and I knew that, and during that time, I thought I was to marry that girl. And I suppose, in a sense, I was, you know, praying and going on in a small way, but boy, that took me down to my knees. I had, my whole future was sort of up in the air. I was like, you know, I had my degree, I was knowing what I was going to do there, and I had the girlfriend, thought I was going to marry her, and, you know, the whole thing hurt. She had a sight and all this carry on. You know, you get big ideas, good view and all that there. The next thing, boy, that was all taken away. It was all taken away. And there I was left with a decision to make, and I thanked the Lord that He was gracious. There I was to say, has God been lying to me? Has this been a whole lie? Or am I going to turn my back on God? Or am I going to trust Him and rest everything on Him and cling to Him? And I can say, young people, cling to the Lord. It'll be hard, He'll break you. He'll bring you down to your knees. But young people, cry out for that. Cry out for that, because it takes you to be broken to know your need. Oh, that we would know our need. I was down in Kilkeel last year working in the aircraft factory. And Mr. Patterson, Reverend Patterson, preached the message in the prayer meeting. And this was his text, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. It's one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When you're saying to me, what does that mean? Blessed are they that which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You realize that's a promise. I hope you realize tonight that God is a God who keeps His promises. There's not a promise that He will break. Faithful is He who promised. And so what is said here, that you and I are being filled to the extent that we are hungry and thirsty after righteousness. And so, young people, I would urge you, cry out, Lord, give me a hunger and thirsting for You and for Your word and for Your glory. And I can tell you, is there something, there can't be much more glorifying to God as His child says, Lord, please give me a desire to love You, a desire to know You, a desire for Your word, a desire for prayer. And I can tell you, to God be all the glory. He has been gracious, and He has been giving me more and more of a desire, a hungering and a thirsting after Him. And oh, young people, that you would know what this is. There are heights. I can tell you that I live for, I've been saved, as I said, 18 years. And in the last year and a half, boys and dear, the Lord has been so much nearer to me in those last year and a half than in all the years before. And this is what He is able to do. It's the same God that we read of in the Bible who did these amazing things in the Old Testament and in the New. And He is the same God that lives in you. His Holy Spirit lives in you if you're truly saved. And so we can expect great things. Why are we so, why do we have such a low level of Christianity? May we get our eyes on our God. You know, Mr. McClung, I heard he was preaching on David and Goliath. And how it said, oh, David was the underdog. David was the underdog. Oh, You see, you know what the problem is? In human perspective, physically, Dave didn't have a chance. It was like a huge boxing champion against a wee toddler. But you see, the problem is our eyes are on things of this world. We need to get our eyes on the spiritual. It will change everything, young people, because we'll not see people walking as trees walking, but as souls on the road to hell, vessels of wrath or vessels of righteousness. And it will change our entire perspective. And so, whenever you see David and Goliath, what do you actually see? When you look at it in the true perspective, in spiritual perspective, you see the Almighty God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, against a speck of dirt. There is no comparison. We say, wow, that was a big victory. It was nothing to Almighty God, the creator of this world. He could have clicked and Goliath would have fallen. So, young people, claim this power. This power is yours to be had for His glory. Men and women, I'll just finish. I just got a few verses here and I would really like to share them with you. I'm sorry I haven't really turned you to anything specific. I've just got loads of wee verses I would like you to read. So, Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, I know from myself, for years I realized the Lord Jesus Christ had power to forgive sin, to turn away and to power over the guilt of sin, that we were justified in Christ. But men and women, young people, let's claim the fact that Almighty God does not just give us over the power of the guilt of sin, our justification, but the same power is given us over the power of sin in this life. Let us claim that, because He that hath begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of His coming. And so there is power for you to be holy and to be used of Almighty God. We think of the words like Robert Murray McShane, a godly man. And this is what he said. May we be as holy as it is possible for a justified sinner to be. This will not change. We will not be any more loved by God. Isn't that not an extraordinary thing? That the very first moment I got saved, I was loved with an everlasting love. A love that could not change. But this is a love that we were talking about there. A love that actually loves back. I love because He first loved me. And so if we love someone, we will love what they love. We will hate what they hate. We will hate sin. And whenever you think of this, I know in overcoming some of my lusts and the sins in my life, if we read, turn to this is a very good one. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. Young people, I hope this one. If you're battling with sin in your life tonight, I can tell you, claim this promise from Almighty God. Say, He has the power. You promise, Lord, and this is for your glory. Give me help. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. A friend of mine gave me this about a year ago in Boys of Deer. That's powerful. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. There you have it, young people. There is no temptation that's going to come your way where God is not going to provide a way of escape. So you're without excuse. I am without excuse. The next time I sin, God is saying here, I have provided you a way of escape. I know there's some guys here and someone's here, and if you have a love for the Lord, you will really hate what He hates. And to think that in committing a sin, you are literally causing the suffering of your Savior. Oh, may that be our motivation for Him. Oh, looking to Him. Let's not live those low lives of low-level Christianity, as it were. But let us strive to live for His glory. And it's not of us, young people. It is of grace. It is of the Lord. We cannot do this in our own strength. But it is of the Lord. We'll have three more verses. I'll power through them here. And they'll bless your soul. I'm not joking. They're unbelievable. I just save my favorite verses through each every week, you know, whatever it is. And I just have them there on a note on my phone. And boys of dear, I was just preparing what I would say the night, and I says, right, I started reading through it, boy, and it just, oh boy, it's powerful. Powerful altogether. And my brother Dave, he sent me a message today. It's that verse, you know, the Lord's word is like a fire, saith the Lord, is like the hammer which smasheth the rock. And I just thought about my old heart and how it has been melted by the Lord, how its old stoniness has been broken by it. And oh, come to the word and it will have the power. It is the power of God unto salvation. Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. You'll know the last verse, I'm sure. Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Young people, I fear that the thing there really is the waiting upon the Lord. And that's what real prayer is. It's really waiting on him and saying, faithful is he that has promised. You know, you'll laugh at this. I was in the shower there about 2 weeks ago, one morning, and boys of dear, it was good. I was just singing and praying in the shower. And next thing, we have a gas-powered shower, heated, and the water was sort of cold. I had her full tilt, and it was sort of lukewarm water. And then I said, right, Nate, turn her down a wee bit. The next thing, oh, lovely and hot, right? And I was just sitting there, and you know what? It was just one of those things. The Lord just goes, a wee light bulb moment, you know, those light bulb moments. It's like, you know what? There's the problem, Jordan. That's the problem. You're going full tilt. The tap's going full tilt. Water coming out flat out. That's lukewarm. What's the problem? Not spending enough time with the flame in the boiler. Is that not our problem? Do we not just need to turn that tap down a little and say, no, I'm not going to go on to Facebook tonight or whatever it might be. I'm going to get down into the Word and just even read one verse and pray over it. Get a promise and claim it and say, I'm going to pray through and wait on the Lord to answer that prayer. And I tell you what, oh boy, the Lord will have you on fire for him because it is glorifying to him. Two more verses. This is a short one and then the last one. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. You don't have to turn to it, but you can if you want. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You know, some of you are very young. I would encourage you to study the Word and memorize it. Because boys of dear, whenever temptation comes, when opportunity comes to witness to unbelievers, and you have the Word of God in your head, boys, oh, it is the Word that is powerful. May we be people that know our God and would be strong and do exploits. It's not about us, it's about Him. May we know Him. I'm blessed always by that verse. I can't remember where exactly it is, but it says, those whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, He justified. And whom He justified, He glorified. And so, I don't know if you have too many Arminian friends, but if you turn them to that there and just look, he, I don't see very much about me, you know, but all joking aside, may we get into the Word and be strong in it and know our God. And lastly, I'll just leave this with you. I realize I'm probably, oh dear, help us. Mr. McClung should have known this. He did say 25 to 30 minutes, but Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, and I'll leave this with any of you. May this be a challenge. I hope you realize, young people, that I say each of these verses, and this is coming from experience, and none of these verses are too small for me. These are the verses I'm claiming. These are the verses that God has spoken to my heart through. And I would just delight, I know it would be the delight of our minister here, to see young people really going on with the Lord, and it would be glorifying to Him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so, young people, may we do what the Lord has even said there, that we would fulfill this our reasonable service, that we would be that salt and light in these dark days, and that whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I hope there's been a word there for those who are unsaved. If you're unsaved, I would ask you, what are you relying on? Are you relying on a profession? Or are you relying on the finished work of Christ? If you're backslidden, like I was for many years, or just cold, ask the Lord and He will make you hungry and He will fill you. And those that are seeking the Lord, may you be strong and do exploits for Him. Thank you very much.